Well, Julia, it's a series win for the Blue Jays as they continue to hit well. They win the bullpen day start, an 8-7 victory for the Jays, now two games above 500. Their fourth straight win in a row. A little dicey with Hoffman at the end, and certainly we'll talk about him. We'll talk about the Jays losing Varsho to what looked like a bad hamstring strain at the very least. We'll get some more clarity on that post-game, I'm sure. But still, I mean, a win is a win is a win, no matter whether it's against, you know, the Padres or the Rangers or here are the Athletics. And the Jays will absolutely take it. 8-7, they win today.
First of all, are you mad at me?
Why?
Oh, because you usually start the show by saying, well, Jules, and today you said, well, Julia.
Oh, Julia, you're right.
It's one of those things, you know, where it's like I was not expecting to hear my government name at this time. But you know what? This was a strange one. And so maybe that's, you know, I don't think any of our heads
we haven't done it in a while, you know. We haven't done Jay's Talk in a while. I forgot that's how we usually start things.
No. That's obviously a joke. I know that everything is okay. Listen.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
No, you're right. Continue.
We'll talk off air. But, yeah, this is, you're right. It's a win. And a win is a win. I totally agree with that. The good news is that the Blue Jays have now successfully separated the TBD days from the Bowden Francis start days, which was the goal with this second bullpen day in four games. We all understand that was it, and we also expected mess. This was meant to be a messy game from the start. It kind of felt like that going in as you see Braden Fisher's name as the starter. So, yes, this pretty much fit what we were expecting. I don't think anyone expected things to get this chaotic in the way that they did show.
No, it was very back and forth. A lot of runs scored from the top of the first inning onwards, essentially. Gunnar Hoglund did not necessarily have it. Braden Fisher, easily the worst start or the worst outing at the very least,
right,
of his very young career. And again, it was only a handful of outings for him, period. But still, it was, to your point, very messy, very chaotic. It was pretty fun, all things considered, you know, apart from some of the injury scares, certainly.
Yeah.
But again, a win is a win. You'll take it. 8-7, the Blue Jays win. A rare weekend win for the Blue Jays as well. So I looked it up. I was curious. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays have played, including today, 20 games on a Saturday or a Sunday. That includes that Yankees doubleheader. But in 20 games played on a weekend, this was just their sixth win.
Wow,
really? On either a Saturday or Sunday. So not something we've actually experienced too many times.
Wow, that is shocking. I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad. But, yeah, maybe this is the start of turning a corner. Because, listen, you know, for all the talk about splits and weekdays versus weekends or close games, the offense, and how are they performing, the bats have swung really well. They've continued to swing the bats really well throughout these three games here, show, and even in a game like this one where they're immediately down 3-0, they came back and they kept coming back and kept adding on. So these are all good signs. And again, we've had this point made in the text line before. The A's are a team that you have to beat if you want to stay competitive, but it is encouraging. We'll see if it bleeds into the next series. We'll see if they can continue to swing the bats this way. Obviously, going for the sweep tomorrow and a season first five wins in a row, we will see. But there's a lot of questions to be answered even from today to tomorrow, right?
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to Jay's Talk, of course. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text us as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's Text Line, always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. As it is a weekend win, before we get into the calls and texts and chat about this game more, Jules, something that has come rarely so far in the weekend wins, which meant we have not been able to do as many giveaways as I like to do the giveaways after wins, and we haven't done that many because we just haven't won a lot on the weekends. But let's do a giveaway today. So the prize up for grabs is the George Springer football jersey. That was the giveaway down at the Rogers Center here a couple weeks ago, I want to say.
Very fitting.
Yeah, so George Springer hitting two home runs today, who will get to. We'll ask the question after the break, but the way it works is you just have to listen for the question. You text us the answer to that question at 590-590. It's going to be a player's name, and you're going to text me that person's name, and again at 590-590, and if you get it right, you'll be entered into a draw to win, but it'll be as perhaps unsurprisingly a George Springer theme today.
Love it. Yeah, so. That sounds great. I'm glad that we get a few opportunities to do this, and it's interesting to sort of analyze just how impactful the Blue Jays can be in their wins and losses. And when they lose on the weekend, well, everybody loses because we can't do giveaways.
Exactly.
But this is an exciting one, and it's a cool giveaway too.
So stay tuned for the question. We'll do that after the break. But first, I did want to get to the phones, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Go to the text line as well in a sec. But let's go to the phones. Let's open today with Eddie in Fort Erie. Eddie, welcome to Jays Talk. What's up?
Not much, Joe and Julia. First of all, I got to say that was one of the craziest games I had ever seen. I mean, like from the beginning, I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game and everything, but thank God the Blue Jays shut down the A's. I mean, I know they're not playing good, but, you know, 1-5, you know, the A's can swing it. So it was a good win. Now,
sure.
I know the Varsho injury was very unfortunate, like the way, like how it happened. But you know what? I find it to be a blessing in disguise in the case for Addison Barger and Ernie Clement, because we know that they've been hitting the ball really good and playing good defense. And with Andres Jimenez coming back, you wonder, where's the playing time going to come from? Well, you know Barger can play the outfield, and he has that strong arm. You don't believe me? Ask Rowdy when he threw him out not once but twice on the bases. So I think, you know what, and as tough as, you know what, this might help Barger and Clement too. And you know what, having Springer in the DH spot is really helping his offense a little bit, because, you know, you wonder about how he was going to swing the bat and everything. It's been declining lately, but you know what? I know it's against the A's, but with Springer the DH, he looks really good offensively. So as tough as it was, I think they're going to be okay.
Hey, Eddie, thanks for the call. Thanks for joining us here on Jays Talk. So, yeah, the Varsho injury and what the fallout from that is. So I guess, first of all, I guess it's a good place to start, considering it was a pretty impactful moment in the game. It did feel when we were here, I mean, what a wild swing of energy in the building, right? Because right before that, obviously, Springer had hit the home run, and then Varsho comes up. He takes a swing on, like, the first or second pitch, and it kind of looked like he also hit a home run, first of all.
It did.
And then just goes off the top of the wall. He's burning for a triple. I think he would have easily gotten that triple had he not pulled the hamstring. But he clearly felt it. Like, as soon as the foot hit the bag at second base, it looked like he felt whatever he felt in the leg, because he slowed down right after his foot hit the bag. He hobbled to third. He basically ran into Max Schumann, who, like, caught him.
Yeah.
And they both went down, essentially, right? Very gently, of course. I'm guessing, won't 100% know what the severity is today, because I'm going to guess he's going to go for imaging and have an MRI or something like that. Probably won't know what the severity is until later tonight.
Yeah.
It could be anything from a hamstring strain to a straight-up tear. We, again, don't know. Strains aren't season-enders, certainly, but for a guy who just spent a ton of time on the IL before the season and then, you know, a month in, returns to the major leagues, comes in a very short period of time, leads the league in home runs, that's an unfortunate blow.
It is, and it looked bad, right, Joe? It looked like something that you can't just take a couple of days off.
Yeah, you gotta hope it,
we don't
it's,
know.
It's
but
like much better than it looked.
Yes, yes. We don't know. We won't know anything for certain. The Blue Jays are calling it left hamstring discomfort, which, we could all see that he was in clear discomfort right there. So we'll wait for more information, but it didn't look good. And it's a tough blow, especially because, this is a guy who, you know, missed a good chunk of the season already recovering from shoulder surgery. He's been doing everything right. He did everything right with his rehab. He came in. He started on time. Such a spark plug legitimately for this offense when they needed it so badly. When the ultra version came back, this offense was in a completely different spot than it is today. And obviously he is not the sole responsible for that. But this is very much a guy who came in and reinvigorated the offense. So tough blow. I can understand, you know, trying to spin this forward and look at, okay, then maybe you can move Addison Barger back to the outfield once Andrés Giménez returns, and that allows him to keep swinging the bat the way that he is and keep developing. Ernie Clement as well had a couple more hits today. Good, very good play defensively there at second base to end the game on that liner. It's still a tough blow, and no matter how much you try to turn this into a positive, if Dalton Varsho is to miss an extended period of time, that's going to be difficult for the Blue Jays.
Injuries are different for every human being, much less every athlete, as we know. But, I mean, if you do look at other players who dealt with hamstring injuries just this season in Major League Baseball, I mean, Corey Seager, we just saw him return against the Jays from his own hamstring strain. He had missed 11 days. Brandon Marsh, I believe, was out for 17 days. I don't think Jordan Westberg has returned yet from his hamstring strain. He's been out since like the last week of April, so he's been out for essentially a full month. So it varies so wildly that until you know what he's dealing with, and then even then, once you do know what he's dealing with, I mean, if it is simply a strain, you just have no idea how different people react to these kinds of things. So we'll have to see. I mean, I think to Eddie's point about how you replace Varsho, I think it's an interesting idea that Barger could be a part of that solution, because in theory you could just put Barger in right, and then center and left could be some kind of mix of certainly Lucas and Straw. And that's kind of what it was when Barger first got called up. That's kind of what it was when Dalton Varsho was still on the IL. Yeah. So you could go back to that. That honestly looked pretty good, all things considered, at least defensively with Lucas and Straw. Roden was in there, and he had some good defensive plays, although the offense fell off. He hasn't played since getting called back up for Santander, but you're missing Santander as well. I got to imagine George Springer will be at least a part of the solution as well, because he is playing in right. To Eddie's point, I kind of agree that he's looked better as a DH, because so far this season there have been a couple moments where I think, like, just with your own eyeballs, it seems like his route running has declined just a little bit, like, but enough to make a little bit of a difference to how the outfield looks like. And when even just last year you felt pretty comfortable with Springer in right defensively. But it also begs the question, I mean, if Roden is already up here for Santander, just putting Barger aside for a second, I mean, I imagine you have to call someone else up. Like, if Varsho's going to go on the IL, I mean, like, there are not a lot of options, right? I mean, Joey Loperfido, I suppose, is an option.
Davis Schneider is
the other guy, right? I mean, Riley Tirota at some point is probably going to be an option. I know he's not a full-time outfielder. But, I mean, like, those are the options, essentially. Like, maybe Ross Atkins can corner the A's GM in the clubhouse somewhere and get him to swing a trade for Denzel Clark. I don't know. But I don't. Probably less likely, right? But I just, like, those are the options, essentially, at this point.
Yeah. The Blue Jays have the guys that they have, for sure. And it's funny how quickly a conversation can change. We've been talking a lot about how outfield heavy this team is. But as you look at the defensive numbers for George Springer and the fact that Dalton Varsho just went down, and we really don't know, and if he is to miss an extended period of time here, if he needs an IL stint, then things are going to look a lot different for this outfield. That's baseball, and this was a messy game start to finish. Definitely the worst development of this game, and, you know, you could probably argue that Jeff Hoffman's performance continues to be a bad development for the Jays this month as a whole. He has an ERA of 13 this month's show, which is, you know, so far from what we saw from him in April. So, yeah, come away of this with a one-run win. That's great. You take the series. That's great. You turn the page to tomorrow, and you have Kevin Gausman on the mound. Fantastic. You're in a very, very good position to sweep this series. And the offense is still rolling, which is tremendously good news for this team.
But real quick, I know this is Jays talk and not Ace talk, but Denzel Clark, real quick. I mean, the guy had said, I think Blake had posted this on social, but from a couple days ago, like when the A's arrived in town on Thursday. But I think his availability he did with all media in the visiting dugout on Thursday, and I think he was asked by someone like what his standout memory was, and I think one of the memories he listed was like the Aaron Hill home run, which went right into the seats, just under the level of excellence where Carlos Delgado's name is out there. So pretty fitting that his first career home run comes in Toronto, basically in the same spot.
I know.
That was an absolute bomb.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
I just think that is so cool. That's just really cool.
It's really cool. And listen, you know, he came into the first game of this series. The game was already way out of reach for the A's. He had two bad at-bats. He struck out a couple of times. And what I said on Jays Talk Plus was, okay, well, you hope that he sees that as just got that out of the way, right? Okay, that was not what he was hoping for, but it's done. And now he can sort of treat this series, this ballpark, as just another series and just another ballpark. And we saw yesterday, definitely on the defensive side, just how impactful a player that he can be. And today, it's just another step forward, I guess, in the interest of making new memories around here. It's cool that he gets to actually build these, you know, memorable moments for himself, given the way that the series started for him.
By the way, another quick update on Dalton Varsho. Left hamstring discomfort, currently getting an MRI. They'll know more either tonight or tomorrow. So there you go. That's the latest on Dalton Varsho. It's directly from John Schneider. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Bob in Nova Scotia. Bob, welcome to Jays Talk. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just want to talk about Jeff Poston's struggles as a closer. My thoughts are, you give him a bit of a reprieve here. Give him a little bit of a break. Let Y-Rod close for a bit, kind of like what they did in San Francisco. I know Camilo Duval was the closer out there. He lost his closer job for a little bit. I noticed he got it back. So just like a little break. That's my thoughts. What do you think?
Hey, Bob, thanks for the call. It's a great question. I think it's a great comparison to use another team because I remember Camilo Duval. I think not only did he lose his closer spot, I think last year, I think he got optioned. I think he got sent down to the minors at one point, and he was one of the more reliable closers in all of baseball. And then, like you see last night or the night before, he's like pitching for the first time in a safe situation in front of his mom in a major league game, which is pretty incredible. So, yeah, I mean, I think he could probably do Hoffman a little bit of good just to – and I don't think you necessarily need to, like – remove him from the closer role every single time, but I do wonder if you do ride the hot hand a little bit, right? Yeah. And again, Yariel Rodriguez, to Bob's point, I mean, gosh, I think he really has found his role as a high leverage reliever. It is funny. Yeah. I mean, I said to Chris when we were sitting here in the booth where the lights went down and Hoffman came in, I kind of said to him, like, I wouldn't have minded seeing Yariel just stay out in this game. I mean, three runs. I understand, still safe situation. You still go out there and you bring in your closer. But, I mean, in the month of May, because May is now over, right? So in the full month of May, Yariel Rodriguez, including today's 1 1/3, no hits or walks, 2 strikeouts. He has 17 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 1 run total, 3 total walks to 18 strikeouts. That is incredible stuff from Yariel Rodriguez.
That is incredible stuff. I forget if he pitched yesterday or in the first game of the series show, but it was a situation where the Blue Jays had a pretty comfortable lead. And I thought to myself, I wonder how he will fare here because this hasn't been his strong suit. He is a guy who pitches better in higher leverage situations. And I forget if it was a walk or a single, but he immediately put a man on base, and I'm like, okay, now he's going to do it. Now he's going to lock in and get the job done. And it was precisely what happened. He just needs that extra bit of adrenaline, it seems like, to succeed. That is what he did in Japan. He's doing it again here, and he is an option to close games for this team. He should be an option to close games for this team right now. I agree with you in that it may be too drastic to say Jeff Hoffman is no longer the closer or should no longer be the closer for this team, but he needs a little bit of a break. And, you know, even we don't have to go back as far as last season even. Obviously, Ryan Pressly is a guy who's done it for a long time, and we're seeing right now maybe a decline in his stuff because, you know, he's aging. These things happen. But he lost the closer role with the Cubs. And now he is, you know, working his way back to the quote-unquote circle of trust and to a job that's been his pretty much for forever, right, when he was with the Astros, certainly. So these things happen. Relievers go through these periods. It's just that, you know, the Blue Jays are in a tight race here to make the postseason. And so you can't really wait for a guy like Jeff Hoffman to figure it out with the game on the line. So it is time to at least start looking at other options, I would say.
I think, too, with Y-Rod, I mean, to your point about him, you know, feeling a little livelier when with runners on, essentially, I mean, he comes on in a pretty high leverage spot as it was, like for the first out of his 1 1/3.
Yep.
And it was Shea Langeliers two on and two outs in what was a three-run game at the time. And Langeliers, I mean, is easily one of – I mean, and Eddie pointed this out, but for all of their scuffling in terms of wins and losses, the A's, at least their top four or five batters, can hit. Like,
this
those guys
is
can slug, right?
Lineup. Yeah, it's a good A's lineup.
It's the pitching that's been the problem for the A's all season. It has not necessarily been the run scoring. So arguably one of their best power hitters next to Brent Rooker up at the plate in Langeliers, and Weyrod comes in, like, essentially makes short work of him, essentially. So well done by Weyrod. And, I mean, Brendan Little had struggled to a certain extent in that outing as well. So a little bit of a downward trend for him in the last maybe, like, couple of weeks, I would say. I still have trust in Little. But right now, if you're looking at that circle of trust, the rankings, I mean, if you have Yariel Rodriguez higher on your circle of trust rankings list than Jeff Hoffman, I wouldn't necessarily blame you. And I think, too, I mean, with Hoffman, even when Jimmy Garcia was healthy, right, they would still give Jimmy, like, the odd closing opportunity. So I kind of wondered if, while Jimmy Garcia continues to be on the IL, if that's what transpires right now. It's like a mix of Hoffman, Weyrod, instead of only Hoffman and everyone else, essentially.
Yeah, we'll see. I firmly believe that, because with Hoffman right now, there seems to be a bit of a struggle with commanding his pitches and throwing good strikes. There have been past outings in which he walked the leadoff batter, for example, and so maybe he is struggling with commanding that pitch, those pitches in the zone. Today, that home run pitch was a fastball down the middle. You want Jeff Hoffman to throw his fastball for strikes, for sure. It's a good fastball, and he should keep it in the zone, but not like that, and not with a runner already on base, because he walked a guy before that. So you're seeing those struggles with control, with command of his pitches. That is what's concerning, and that is what warrants, I guess, a reset of some sort. And Yariel Rodriguez has transformed himself. He tweaked his repertoire a little bit. You don't see him going to the curveball as much, let's say. But the slider is working extremely well. The fastball is, you know, the hardest we've seen from him throughout his time with the Blue Jays, and the splitter's working as well. So you look at the edge that he just seems to have, and that's part of his personality, and the fact that he is commanding all of his pitches, and he is, you know, making quick work of guys, as you said, of power hitters. That is a recipe for success. How will he fare in the closer role? I don't know. It's certainly a different role, a different task, and you don't really know how a guy is going to do until he gets a chance to do it. Maybe now's the time to give him that chance.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Edmonton. Brendan in Edmonton joining us here on Jay's Talk. Brendan, what's up? What's on your mind?
Hey, show, Julia. I just wanted to get a little bit in on the Dalton Barshow conversation.
Sure.
And I think the outfield depth on this team is a lot better than we've had in years past. And maybe an injury like this and the one to Santander would have really put us behind the eight ball. But, like, a couple of guys that you didn't mention there. I mean, obviously, Jonathan Clase, who is up with the team right now, is an option for center field. You and other outfield guys, Will Robertson, for me, at AAA, has really been putting on quite a show down there. Looks like a guy who might be able to get added to that, onto the 40-man and get up here at some point. I think that there's more guys available. Lo Perfido as well in the month of May. I think he's had over, like, a 300 average with an over 400 on base in the month of May down there. So there's more guys than we give this organization credit for, at least at the upper ends of the minor leagues, that can have an impact on the major league team in case of injuries. So not a perfect job by Ross Atkins in the offseason, but I just don't think it's as dire as it could have been in years past, where an injury to Dalton Barshow, we would have seen nobody out there. And personally, I really have liked what Miles Straw has done for this team. He puts up tough at-bats. He's not a really big swing and miss guy, so he's going to put the ball in play a lot, and good things happen when you put the ball in play. So I don't know. I've got optimism for this injury going forward, that you know, maybe we can see some of these other guys, give Alan Roden another chance, see what he can do, maybe a longer leash for Jonathan Classe, see what he can do, because I thought he's looked really good as well. What was it, since the San Diego series, he's had a couple of really big hits in that one and a couple of good at-bats in this series as well.
Hey, Brendan, thanks for the call. Great call from you. Appreciate you joining us here on Jays Talk. Yeah, I think it's valid to say that there are at least a number of options. And I know I admit I wasn't super bullish on them before. I didn't think of Will Robertson, I admit. So that is definitely at least like I still think like if you're looking at the list of possibilities, he's a little lower down on the list than like Schneider and Loperfido. I think Loperfido for me is at the very top of the list, probably.
Sure. Yeah.
Just because he's had the experience. He was a guy they went out and got very intentionally, right, when he was acquired last year at the deadline. So, yeah, I think Loperfido probably would be that guy. I mean, Matt from Halifax on the text line, with Varsho likely being down for a while, you think Wagner is the call-up or Joey L. There was another one here from where was the other one, actually? Okay, well, I can't find the other one. Right. Oh, here it is. It was from Justin and Perry Sound. Leave Barger at third. Moving him to the outfield because Varsho is hurt makes no sense. So, like, people approaching it from, you know, different ends of what it means for the roster. But I admit I'm kind of with Justin. I know Eddie earlier mentioned playing Barger in the outfield is definitely a possibility. I'm not saying it's not by any means. Yep. It's just I've been so impressed by Barger at third base. I think I would prefer leaving him there. And we talked about this in the pregame show, but when Jimenez returns, probably in the not-too-distant future, if you have to choose from two of Jimenez, Clement, and Barger to man second and third, depending on who's on the mound that day for the opposing team, I think I'd rather have that problem and then try and solve the outfield another way. And then if you really had to get all three of Barger, Clement, and Jimenez into a game, then you could use one of the outfield spots essentially for Barger, effectively.
Yeah, that sounds okay, too. I mean, and the Blue Jays have other options for sure. Will Robertson is a guy that we spoke to Davis Schneider on Jays Talk Plus, and Schneider actually highlighted him as one of the guys that's been impressive since he went down. So certainly a possibility. I wouldn't mind seeing Joey Loperfido back here just because, you know, he did get an extended look last year. This is different. This is definitely a postseason chase. It's got a little bit of a different feel to it, and so why not let him show what he can do? And Jonathan Classe, he keeps doing things.
It's a good shout by Brendan.
He keeps doing certain things that are putting him in good positions, I guess. I don't love his play in the outfield. There's a lot of questionable routes to the ball. There's some plays that aren't, you know, show a little bit of the greenness, maybe, the youth, if you will, but you can only get better by doing it. And so if he keeps swinging the bat well, then why not give him an extended look? I was shocked to see that he didn't play at all in Arlington, honestly, with the way that things were going for him. So, yeah, another option. Will Wagner wouldn't really be an option right now. He's still on the injured list in AAA, so I don't think we're going to see him relatively soon. But yeah, this is definitely not as dire as it would have been in different times for the Jays.
I do think when you talk about outfield defense, because, I mean, that defense, run prevention, all things we've heard a million times from this ball club, I mean, they obviously love having those abilities be, you know, higher end ones for their outfielders. And when Varsho is not in there, obviously that just, no matter like who is in there, that takes a bit of a dip. But I think you're going to see a lot more Miles Straw just because he's been playing well. And I mean, he's also probably the next best defensive outfielder after Dalton Varsho, even with everyone on the roster already. So you're going to see more of him, certainly. I think you're going to see more Alan Roden, certainly, as well, who's already up here, just hasn't played since Santander went on the IL. And I mean, if you're talking about outfield defense, Jules, I think between Roden and Classe, I think I have more faith based, again, in like very, like the smallest of sample sizes, basically only this season. But I think I have a little bit more faith in Alan Roden defensively than I do in Jonathan Classe, at least so far. That could change because, again, they've played so few games. But in what we've seen, it feels like I've seen better routes to the ball from Roden than maybe Classe, early on at least.
Yeah, and we'll see, right? It's very much, you're right in saying that it's been a small sample. We can't really make much of it. It's tough. But you know, with Class A being a switch hitter, that opens some doors for him. Roden, obviously, just a left-handed hitter. We'll see how things go moving forward, and even as early as tomorrow show, I don't expect to see Roden making a start tomorrow, but it's still very much up in the air what's going to happen from here on out.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Morgan in Halifax here on Jay's Talk. Morgan, what's on your mind? Welcome to Jay's Talk.
How's it going, guys?
Good, man. What do you want to talk about today?
Yeah, so I called in not too long ago to talk about the top of the order and their inconsistency and all that. But one thing I want to talk about is maybe the consistency we're getting out of the bottom of the order and how they could be a bright spot here going forward. You got a guy like Class A, you guys talk about he and outfield work can be questionable, but he looks really good at the plate and it's definitely been a bright spot. Ernie Clement, what did he have, 9 hits this weekend? I mean, that's a pretty good weekend out of him. I think that the bottom of the order could be something to talk about over here over the next little while, and could maybe bail out some of the inconsistency we get out of the top of the lineup. What do you guys think?
Yeah, hey, Morgan, appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us on Jay's Talk. Yeah, I think it's funny to think that last year, so much of the discussion, Jules, about the bottom of the order was like negative, essentially, right? And for a good chunk, I'm not saying for the whole year, certainly, but a good chunk of the year, I feel like we haven't spoken about the bottom of the order being a glaring weakness because, you know, I've said this a million times, like you're not going to be winning and losing games based on how, you know, like Class A and Lucas and Ali Sanchez are hitting, right? Tyler Heineman is hitting. Like you're going to be winning and losing games based on how George Springer and Vladdy and Bo and Varsho and Santander are hitting, right?
That's it.
So those guys have been the players we've talked about more, obviously deservedly so because they're making tons of money. But To Morgan's point, I mean, the bottom of the order has largely played quite well for the most part, I think, all season. Yeah. And again, like it that encompasses a lot of other names as well. I mean, to Morgan's point, we just talked about Jonathan Class A. Lucas, I think, and you know I'm a big Nathan Lucas booster, and he has been playing pretty well, I would say, more or less all season. Miles Straw, we talked about, he has been playing well in that conversation. Ernie Clement, who I think technically you count in the bottom of the order, but he's been playing so well.
Yeah.
And he's been playing well in such big spots. I feel like he's in that like in-between conversation in terms of where he lines up. But again, in terms of strictly role, he is probably considered in the bottom of the order conversation, and he's been very, very good. And then you add in what he did just in the last like 3 games. He's been excellent and deserving of far more conversation. And then Michael Stefanik has been a little up and down. Certainly you want to see more from Alan Roden, who hasn't played since getting called back up. But I'm kind of with Morgan in the sense that you can see a way where these guys aren't the weaknesses, and not only are not weaknesses, but they're actually strengths to certain degrees. Again, like expectations being what they are, you have such high expectations at the top of the order. When they don't meet those expectations, you get, I think, rightly a little annoyed, and you have a lot lower expectations for the bottom half of the order, and then when they exceed, so it's a lot easier for them to exceed expectations, I would say, right? So that's part of the context of where we are when we talk about top versus bottom. But again, those guys have been pretty good so far.
Yeah, in that sense, yes, you know, it is a perk of being down the lineup. And the moments of this season in which the bottom of the lineup was not clicking were moments in which the top of the lining wasn't doing much either.
Yeah.
And so the conversation is not there. And you're right, they're not going to be held responsible for many of the games that the Blue Jays lose. It's easier to look at the bottom of the lineup and their contributions when the Blue Jays pull off a win like this, because it's evident that Ernie Clement with 2 hits and a run scored was impactful. It is evident that Nathan Lucas adding 1 hit, 2 RBIs was impactful. This is just kind of, you know, the way that baseball goes in that way. And you need contributions 1 through 9 if you're going to make it to the postseason. That's just how it is. And no one is expecting Nathan Lucas to hit a home run every time. No one's expecting Ernie Clement to hit 2 home runs in the same inning at all, even though he really, really wanted to do that in the first game of this series. But it has been a strength for this team. And you kind of look at it from a different perspective. But you know, the Blue Jays are going to win games as long as George Springer keeps hitting the way that he is, as long as Bo Bichette keeps hitting the way that he is. And what a run for Bo Bichette has this been. It's been unbelievable to see. So That's kind of where we are. The lineup certainly seems to be in a good spot. There are certain things that we're going to have to, you know, take a look at. Dalton Varsho being the biggest one right now, but this is a lineup that finally looks like it's firing on all cylinders, which is obviously something that players, coaching staff, manager, everyone had been saying all along that it would come. It was hard at times, show to, you know, keep patience alive as the struggles continued, but we are seeing the product of what they were talking about, and that has to be encouraging regardless of where you're hitting and regardless of injuries right now for the Jays.
I will say, and I'm not saying this to be the wet blanket, but I think it is one thing to be, and I mean, you're not going to complain about the results, certainly. I mean, they scored 8 runs today after scoring 23 runs in the last 2 games against the A's. You'll take it 1,000%. But at the same time, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to go on to play. You have a day off on Monday to wrap up. You're going to wrap up the series against the A's tomorrow. Day off on Monday. You have 3 games at the Rogers Center against one of the best teams in baseball in the Phillies. You have 3 games on the road, I think at Target Field, against the Twins, and the Twins are currently occupying a wild card spot and have a better record than the Blue Jays. And then you're going to go on the road to play the Cardinals in St. Louis, who have also been playing a lot better as of late. So, and then I think you play the Phillies again. I'm not saying that what you can't take anything from this game, but I do believe that you want to see them have, again, they don't have to have 31 runs in 3 games against the Phillies necessarily, but you do want to see them have good at-bats and to watch the process turn into results, even if the guys you're facing are like Zach Wheeler, for example, or whoever else they might face on this against the Phillies or on the coming road trip.
I will say it's possible that they would score a ton of runs against the Phillies the way that things are going right now. The Phillies are down 17-2 in the bottom of the 8th inning against the Brewers, and this will be, barring a miracle, their third loss in a row. 6-2 against the Brewers yesterday. 9-3 they lost to the Braves in the second game of a doubleheader, albeit they did take the first one in that doubleheader on Thursday. So, you know, this is still a very, very good team. This is still a team that is vying for the World Series. But maybe the Blue Jays are going to luck out a little bit here, too, in that the Phillies are not close to playing their best baseball of the season right this moment. We all know that one game can change that, and we've seen the Blue Jays be on the wrong side of those get-right games. But, yeah, something to look at and look forward to, because this is not the same Phillies team, apparently, that was winning all those games in a row and making a run as the best team in baseball, really.
That's a good place to take a break, Jules, because on the other side, let's continue taking a look at the out-of-town scoreboard and take a look at the Bet365 standings update. Take some more calls, take some more texts as well, and we got to give away the George Springer jersey. Talk a little bit about George Springer's 2 bombs today. Bo Bichette with a home run as well. Got to talk about those guys, certainly. Talked about the bottom of the order. Got to give the top of the order their due when they do come through. So, still lots to get to on the other side. You're listening to Blue Jays Talk. That's Julia. I'm Sho. We're back in a flash on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Sets near his chest with his elbows pointed out to either side. 2-0 is drilled out to left field and deep. Turning around Andujar. It's out of here and we're tied. It's a bad day to be a pitcher. 5-5 game with one out in the bottom of the second, thanks to Bo Bichette's 7th of the year.
That is Ben Shulman with the call of Bo Bichette's 7th home run, his 100th career home run, the most ever by a Blue Jays shortstop. As we welcome you back here to Blue Jays Talk, Sho and Julia here with you for another 15 minutes or so. You can give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text us as well, 590-590, name and location, standard data and messaging rates may apply. All right, Jules, before we talk a little bit more about Bo, before we give out the George Springer jersey and chat about Springer as well, got to get to the Bet365 standings update. Download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it is never ordinary at Bet365. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. Well, I believe only, let me just double check here. Yeah, the Red Sox game is over. Our game is over. Of course, an 8-7 win for the Blue Jays over the Athletics. The Yankees are playing a little bit later tonight. They get going in about 45 minutes, and they're playing the Dodgers. And Will Warren going in for the Yankees in that game? So we'll see what
That'll
the World Series rematch looks like. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Landon Knack will start for the Dodgers in that one. Watch it on Sportsnet, of course. Top of the ninth inning, the Rays are leading the Astros 14-3. I mean, good Lord. I think we can chalk that one up to as a win for, for Tampa Bay, probably. Top of the ninth inning, and I'm not sure if this just started or if this game just ended, but the Baltimore Orioles were leading the White Sox 4-2. So with all that in mind, the Yankees are 35-21 prior to their game. The Blue Jays are 30-28. They're two games above 500. They're six games back of the Yankees. The Rays are 29-28, although I think we can say they'll be 30-28 as well in a matter of moments. The Red Sox, after their loss, are 28-32, and the Orioles are 20-36 if they hang on to win against the White Sox. And again, they're leading 4-2. They will get their 21st win of the season. So there you go. That's a quick check of the Bet365 standings update. But you heard the Bo Bichette home run there, Jules. I mean, Bo, one of the things I've been saying about him is, like, I mean, he had been by no means having a bad season up until this point, but Bo had been, you know, you wanted to see more power from him. You wanted to see him hit more hard hit doubles. I wasn't even asking for home runs, because again, I think his highest home run total ever in a season is 29. So it's not as though he is some massive home run hitter necessarily, but I think you had gotten used to seeing him, again, pre-injury last year, hit the doubles into the gap and make those kinds of plays. And I think we hadn't seen a lot of that, but it does look like in the last, and again, the whole offense came around in the month of May, but it does look like that is, for him in particular, starting to come a little more frequently, which is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, all seven of his homers came in May, and so you obviously hope that that carries over to the next month, but this is looking like Bo Bichette, right? You're right, the homers are going to come just by nature of how hard he hits the ball, but it's not actually his game. His game is you know, going down the third baseline or the first baseline and legging out a double and things like that. That is where he is at his best, and he's going to run into a few homers. But, yeah, listen, maybe it did take a bit for Bo Bichette to, you know, come back. Last season was so weird for him, and it really, you know, it was just about staying healthy. He couldn't do that, but came back in spring training. He was looking good in spring training. It still took him a bit to get into a rhythm. And then when he did, then he is looking like himself again. And that is not just someone who can put the bat on the ball no matter where that ball lands, in or out of the strike zone, but also someone who can come up clutch for your team more often than he fails to do that. So he did that in Arlington. He did that again today. That was a shot to tie the game at that point. And we've seen so often this season, show pitchers sort of attack Bo Bichette with those pitches in on the hands. That's kind of been the MO a little bit, and it worked early on in the season, but now Bo knows that this is what's coming. He knows that this is what pitchers are trying to do against him, and he has multiple ways that he can go about it. He can unload like he did today. He can hold off and just slap a single the other day like he did yesterday. And he is a smart guy as well as being, you know, a talented hitter. So, yes, this worked in the past. Absolutely, it worked in the beginning of the season, but he knows now that book is out. You can't just attack him in that way, in on the hands, and expect good results anymore, because he's prepared. And that's what's showing a little bit here as well. So, you know, it's back to the drawing board for pitchers and pitching staffs and people of that sort. Good news for the Blue Jays. And you do hope that he stays this hot going into June.
There's a text here on the text line from Brian in Oshawa. Will the Jays sign Bo Bichette to a long-term deal? So, you know, so I was doing the pregame show the other day with, I was doing it by myself prior to one of the Rangers games. And we had some guests each of those couple of days. The day game was the last one. So we had first couple of days of the series. I had guests with me. And the first guest I had on the first game was our Sportsnet's very own Ben Nicholson-Smith. And BNS stopped by and I asked him that exact question. And, you know, BNS, I think, is a fan of having, like, the numbers conversation, like, what do deals look like? Will players test free agency? I mean, heavens knows we've had that conversation about Vladdy a billion times. Now we don't have to have that anymore, at least for 14 more years. But I do think with Bo, it's a more fascinating one, because largely I think, even if he does re-sign in Toronto eventually, largely I believe shortstops just tend to test the market, mm-hmm. right? Shortstops are a pretty valuable position. Now, again, long-term, is Bo a shortstop? It's a valid question to ask. I mean, I'm sure he thinks so, because I would imagine shortstops, just generally speaking, make more money than third baseman or second baseman, right? Yeah. But it's something I asked to Ben, and BNS basically said, and it was a good point raised by him, that, you know, if Bo is open in free agency to telling teams, hey, down the road, I could play second base for you, I could play third base for you, that'll probably open the market to teams that are willing to spend top dollar. And again, I mean, I tend to believe that at his age, he will get the Trey Turner, Corey Seager deal. I proposed that to Ben as well, and Ben said, you know what? He has a long way to go to get to like that $28 to $30 million AAV deal.
Yep.
If he ends where he's at now without hitting for a ton of power but just getting on a lot, he might be looking at something closer to what Dansby Swanson got or Willy Adames just got last year from the Giants. Now, again, those two guys were like a little older when they signed their contracts, but that's probably what you're looking at, which I think is fair to assume. But again, I mean, like, there's well over 100 games left to be played. That could turn in a real hurry if you're Bo Bichette, or if you're any other team looking at him, because again, in a free agent market, and again, apart from Kyle Tucker, I admit I haven't looked at it too closely,
right.
But now that Vladdy's off the market, I got to think Bo is probably one of like the sexiest free agents available in the coming offseason from a position player standpoint,
because
I think a lot of the big names next year are mostly pitchers.
Yeah, and listen, you know, talking to people around the industry outside the Toronto market, I think the unfortunate and frustrating consensus is that we don't know.
Sure.
We don't know even how to evaluate Bo, because he missed so much time last year with the injury, because it took him a little bit to get going here, and we've all seen the best version of Bo Bichette, the version of Bo Bichette that leads the league in hits and all of that. Is he still that guy? Well, he looks like that guy right now. So if he keeps this up, then obviously the valuation is going to go way up. But right now, it has been up and down, and we don't have any sort of consistency on the numbers from last season to put together an analysis. And so, tough one to predict. But I do expect him to at least test the market, right? Especially if he's hitting as well as he is. And if this continues, Bo is a, you know, he's a more closed off guy than Vladdy, certainly. And so we're not getting as many details as to, you know, are there conversations ongoing? Last we heard from him, there were not extension talks happening with the Blue Jays. Obviously, now that Vladdy is signed, maybe that will change or has already changed. We don't know. And Bo is probably not going to, you know, talk about this openly, especially in season. I expect him to test the market, and then it's really anyone's guess show, which is frustrating, I know, but it's kind of where we are.
I appreciate this text from Simon in St. John's, because I certainly wasn't looking at this since we were on the air, but he says, hey, Show and Julia, Davis Schneider just taken out of the Buffalo Bisons game. So there you go.
Mm. Yep.
He's probably back tomorrow then. I just looked it up while you were talking about that. I just quickly looked it up. Schneider took a walk in the, the bottom of the first inning, and was promptly pinch run for. So there you go. I mean, you're not getting pinch run for in the first inning unless something's happened, right? And if you take a walk, I'm guessing he did not get injured. So
yeah, it's either very good news or very bad
very
news.
Bad
for
news
him, 100%.
Yeah. And if he walks, I'm guessing it's something related to not wanting him to get injured going forward. So there you go. I think that at least answers the question, probably in the short term at the very least. That doesn't necessarily mean David Schneider is going to be up here like permanently, I would imagine, but I think based on how long they took to send Schneider down in the first place, I got to think if he does in fact come back tomorrow, then I mean, you know, they clearly believe in this guy and want him to get another chance.
Yeah, and he's been hitting well. It was a bit of a struggle for him as soon as he went back down, but he's picked it up. He's looking like himself again, and the Blue Jays need another righty bat that can, you know, crush some homers. And maybe the way that the offense is going right now will also be a good boost for a guy like Davis Schneider when he comes back up here to just feel more free and to feel like there is no real weight on his back or on his shoulders, right? He's just here. And he's supposed to do what he is good at. When we spoke to him on Jays Talk Plus, that was sort of the mentality, right? He knows who he is as a hitter. And if he sticks to that, then the hits will come and the power will come. It's just finding that, looking and waiting for the pitch that he can actually handle instead of expanding the zone, instead of going, you know, chasing sliders or whatever it may be. That's not his game. So as long as Davis Schneider stays true to who he is, his essence as a hitter, he should be fine. It's just easier said than done, and sometimes guys do need that reset, get sent down, sort of work on your game, no pressure at all. Well, he's in a much better place now. Let's give him another chance.
So let's say we are correct, and Simon and St. John appreciate the shout, but let's say Simon is correct as well that he is back tomorrow. How does that impact how you deploy the roster?
Right.
Would you put... Because you could easily put, you could just keep everything in the infield the way it is now, leave Barger at third, leave Clement at second, just put Schneider in left, and
George,
you could put
Springer,
George back in,
sure,
in right field if that's what you want.
Sure.
Or you could put Springer back, you could put Springer in left, I suppose, if you really wanted to. You could Barger in right, but Clement at third, Schneider could play second. You could actually, because Schneider is one of the few players that can actually play both the infield and outfield, and Barger is one of those guys as well that are on this roster right now. And again, we're assuming, of course, that Schneider is going to be back on the major league roster tomorrow. Possible that he's not, I suppose, but again, that's the assumption. You can actually, I think, go about it a number of different ways. Now, again, I think it will probably come down to, like, what do their splits look like against J.P. Sears if they've ever faced him before, or, you know, depending on left or right splits and so on. I think that's certainly going to play a factor, because it always does. But, well, what do you think if that is, in fact, the move with Davis Schneider?
Listen, I will also say this. Davis Schneider has been playing some third base down there.
Has he? Okay.
Which is different, for sure. Not, it's something that he's done before. But, and listen, the bat will always guide sort of how much playing time someone like that is getting, but he's opening up some possibilities for himself as well, right? If the Blue Jays are pretty committed to keeping Addison Barger at third, which it seems like they are, then yeah, I expect Davis Schneider to see some time in the outfield if and when he comes back, which, again, we don't know.
Exactly.
But it's looking like this might be the case. The Blue Jays might need some help here. Especially after Dalton Varsho went down. So we'll see. Nothing is set in stone. We are not saying that Davis Schneider is getting called up. Please don't understand it like that. But given the circumstances, there is a real possibility. And I would expect us to see him more in the outfield than the infield.
Yeah, depending on when you're listening to this. I mean, if you're listening to it live, I mean, what are you going to do? But if you're listening to it on the podcast later on, I mean, gosh, there's a real chance these last 5 minutes have been real out of date, or they're going to look real good in about 24 hours. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens tomorrow. I did want to get to the George Springer giveaway, of course, Jules, and talk about Springer a little bit, because we got a couple minutes left.
For sure.
And again, we haven't gotten to do many of these giveaways this year, but when we do them, essentially the way it works is I'm going to ask you a question right now to the listeners. You or Jules are not eligible to win. Tom, you're not eligible to win either. Sorry.
Fine.
but
Tom.
I will ask you a question. You text us the answer at 590-590, name and location. If you get it right, you will be entered into a draw to win, and then we'll pick the winner. And I'll usually leave it for like a day just to give the podcast crew a chance to also enter on 590-590, name and location. But we should be able to announce the winner by the end of the day when we're doing Jays Talk tomorrow. But today's question is, Springer, his first two home run game of the season, both of them coming off of Gunnar Hoglund. In 2024, Springer had three games where he hit two home runs. In every single one of those games, I actually didn't realize this, but in each of those three games, both of his home runs came off the same pitcher.
You're kidding.
Yeah, because you kind of think, sometimes they come off a reliever, one off a starter, one off a reliever. No, in each of those three games, he hit two home runs off the same guy, all starting. So all you have to do, I made it easier this time, all you have to do is text us the name of one of those three pitchers. Okay, one of the three pitchers, you text us the name of one of those three men, and you will be entered into a draw for the chance to win the George Springer football jersey. Again, 590-590, name and location. So again, the question is, In 2024, Springer hit two home runs in the same game off of three different pitchers. What are their names? You don't have to text all three names. Just you can pick one and text that guy's name. Again, 590-590, name and location. But I do think Springer is a good way to wrap up the show.
Yeah.
Because, again, two home runs. On a day where, I mean, it's funny because, like, you're not going to think about it as much, but Dalton Varsho did hit a double, and you want more power from players like Varsho. I mean, he's given you a lot of power, right? You want more power from Vladdy and Bo and so on. Santander as well, but he's on the IL, so you put him aside for now. But if you're not going to be able to get that power from Varsho in the at least short term, if he is in fact going to go on the IL, you don't have Santander. It does put a little more emphasis on getting power from people like Springer, like Bo, and like Vladdy. And you got the power from Bo today, and he got two home runs from Springer today. So again, we'll see what that looks like going forward for him, because he had such a hot start, and then he kind of fell off a little bit. But I do wonder, and again, you probably won't have the luxury of putting him in the DH spot if Varsho is going to miss time. Maybe you can, I suppose, depending on how you want to configure the outfield. But again, I did enjoy seeing that from Springer today, because you just need more power on this team.
Yeah, and you're right in saying that the cool-off from Springer was pretty drastic as well. It was almost as drastic as how hot he was to start the season. And so seeing a guy like that sort of get back to it is a very good sign. Even the walk that he had early on show, it's so clear that he continues to see the ball well. That hasn't been his problem all season. We've spoken about, you know, maybe trading a bit more swing and miss for the ability to do damage, which is definitely something that the Blue Jays need. And, you know, as you age, you do start to get a little bit slower. Your bat speed is going to slow down. That's part of it. And so, yeah, he's trying to get ahead a little bit more. He's going to swing and miss a little bit more. What I saw when things were not going as well was, one, he was getting, you know, attacked with a lot more breaking balls, a lot more spin, a lot of fastballs early on, and he did jump on them, and he did a good job with that. So pitchers obviously adjusted, and he started seeing a lot more sliders and things of the sort. That is when the numbers started to take a dip. Today, the walk, again, clear he's seeing the ball well, because he fouled off pretty much every pitch that was in the zone with that walk. And looking at that, I was like, well, it would be nice to see Springer actually time up a fastball in the zone right and, you know, go gap to gap with it or whatever. He doesn't have to hit a home run every time, but catch up to the fastball, do something with it, do some damage. Well, that's what he did in his next at bat. First pitch fastball, 90 point something miles per hour, so not necessarily elite speed by any means, but he got to it. He got to it, and he hit it well. Great. The next at bat, Gunnar Hoglund tries a different approach. He goes with a slider. Well, he hangs the slider in the zone, and again, first pitch swinging, George Springer crushes it. So the problem hasn't really been, you know, mentality. It hasn't been approach. It hasn't been game plan. It's just, yeah, pitchers are going to adjust, and you need to adjust back. And that is going to include, most of the time, a little bit of a lull period that we're not there anymore, Joe. It looks like Springer has adjusted back, and this is what we're seeing in this series here.
Addison Barger also hit a home run today. We kind of talked around Barger today just because of how do you deploy him going forward. But, I mean, he, as long as we're talking about ambushing pitches, I mean, he turned on that changeup right down the middle. Like, he murdered that baseball. Yeah. 428 feet off the facing of the second deck. I mean, Hoglund did not get by with the right sequence, right? Like a changeup away and off the plate, and then a changeup right down the middle.
Yeah.
And I think you want to do that in reverse order, essentially, and he did not, unfortunately for him. But 34 home runs in the month of May before today's game. That was good for seventh in all of baseball. They finished May with 38 home runs, given they hit four today. So, I mean, I got to imagine they will stay in the top 10, if not move up a spot or two, depending on how these other teams look today. But that's not a bad place for the team to be, given how much we discussed offensive struggles for the first, like, month of the season.
Yeah, not at all. And good news. Good news all around, show, with the way that the season started. This turning this corner in the month of May is huge. Let's go for the sweep tomorrow. This is still a very, very important game. Blue Jays have cleared the 500 mark for sure, but you need to keep building on it.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by the local family-owned Crown West Control Centers in Grand Falls and Miramichi, New Brunswick. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown West Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For Julia Kreutz, Ben Schulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, Derek Brandeo, Brandon Brown, I'm Sho Ali. That does it for us. We are out of here. Jules and I are back tomorrow to put a bow on this series here at the Dome. Have a great Saturday night, everyone. We'll talk to you later.